Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your presence here today. And Lord, we come and we just praise you and we give you the glory, Lord. And as the beds and the food and the toys are being delivered, Lord, we just pray that your presence flow into the homes that those items go into, that they see your light in the hands and the hearts of those delivering those items. Lord, thank you that we can be your messengers here on earth. Thank you that we can be you and let us shine that light. Lord, today we're going to talk a little bit about your mystery. And we pray that you open our hearts, open our minds to receive you. And Lord, we pray that we allow you to change us, to make us more like you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, it's a busy time of year, right? And like Brent said, one more week until Christmas. You know, we've had trees to decorate at home and cards to write and the cookies to bake. And let's see, what else? The parties to go to, presents to buy, to wrap. And you just keep going and going and going. You know, and then all of a sudden it's Christmas. It's one week away. And it's like, well, then we'll wake up on Tuesday or Monday and say, well, what happened? Where'd it go? It came and went so fast. And, you know, it's been in the store since before Halloween, so it's been around a long time. But, you know, the day itself and what it means and how we celebrate it just vanishes so quickly. And I think a lot of it is because we are busy. We are involved in so many things and we keep our schedule so full. And then, you know, we just miss it. Today's the fourth Sunday in Advent. You know, I climb up on these chairs and light the candles here before you all get here. And it's a great thing. That means it's coming. It's coming. Jesus' birth that we celebrate is coming. We're prepared for that. But we also, as we've said, Advent is a time to prepare ourselves for Jesus' second coming. Are we living expectantly? Are we living compassionately? Are we living responsibly so that when he does shows up, we will be ready? That's what Advent really is about. There's a mystery to it all, and the mystery somewhat was seen this morning in the mattresses and all the linens and everything being delivered. That's the mystery of it all, of how God, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, not bound by the limits of space and time, chose to become the weakest of the weak, to take on flesh, to become like us, and to be born in a time and place of turmoil and foreign occupation and war and where death rates of infants were tremendously high. God chose to enter into our world, his world, like us. You know, I tried all week to try to think of a metaphor. I think it's a metaphor. What would I turn into? Like, you know, not that I'm God and going to turn. But the only thing I could say is if it would be like Tina, a human being, turning into a gnat. You know those little black bugs that come around in the fall that they get kind of biting or a gnat and they're in front of you and you're batting at them and everything? They're just pesky. They never seem to go away. Well, that's kind of like we are. We're just pet, you know, we're a pest. We are really. So anyways, but today we're going to talk and think about the mysteriousness of God coming to earth as a child, as a baby, and then choosing to dwell in us. Dwell in us. Our bodies are his temple. You know, I don't get it. You know, and it reminds me that when I'm in Bible study classes and people will say, well, how about this? And can you explain that? And can you explain this? You know, and I just look at them and I say, you know, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Some things there will not be human explanation for. And we don't like that. Because we're Western culture, and we want to know the if-then-but statements and everything tied together, and we want the logic to explain it. Well, this book is not a Western culture book. It's from an Eastern culture. And in Eastern culture, mystery is something to be celebrated. Mystery is something to be grasped and held onto and not to be afraid of. So I think today I'd like us to all switch our thinking to a more of an Eastern culture and try to absorb the beauty of mystery. Now, I've included some scripture in your bulletin, and there it was a real mystery to me when I looked at the bulletin today, because there are some scripture in there that I would not have selected at all. Now, Pastor John thinks it's a Freudian slip that I did it, and you'll know which one. It's the Colossians verses, because it talks about wives being submissive to their husband, submitting to their husbands. And that will be a different sermon for a different time. So when we get to my Colossians verse that I'm going to use, I'll tell you what that is. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, and I think you probably do, you can take a look at that or you can follow along. We're going to do a little Bible study today to discover and understand and to celebrate this mystery of God being fully divine and fully human at the same time. So I'm going to start with Matthew 1. So if you want to turn to your bulletin or your Bible, and this is going to be a familiar verse to us. It's part of the verse comes from when the angel is appearing to Joseph to tell him it's okay that your bride-to-be is expecting a child, and you need to, this child is going to be special, and you're going to be its earthly father. Now, that's a real mystery, too, when you think of that whole event. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 says, "All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet." And the prophet that Matthew is speaking about is Isaiah. Back in chapter 7 of Isaiah, verse 14, it talks about a virgin conceiving and having a child. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, you and I might not think that's so strange or so mysterious, this God with us idea, but for the people of the first century that were hearing this, this is out-of-the-box thinking, that God is with us, that God would choose to be with me on a daily basis, because we believe God was in one place. He was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, in Jerusalem, and only the high priest got to go into the room where the Holy of Holies was kept once a year on the Day of Atonement. What on earth does it mean to think God is with us? That's just nuts. Why Emmanuel? And then on the family side of it, the baby should have been named Joseph. He always named the child first child after the father, the boy. So you've got this idea of God with us, and then you give them the name of Jesus. And you know, you and I, how many is there anybody? I don't know what my name means. I don't know. But you know, you might know what your name means. You know, you can find it online or on little cards, and you know, Laura means this, or Polly means that, or Tyler. Ty, are you Tyler? You're Tyler. Ty means this. Dave means that. But Jesus, the name Jesus, means he saves. So not only was his name different than what it should have been, it says something that we'd have to go, what? What? Why would his name be He Saves? Why would his name, Emmanuel, God with us? It's a mystery to us. It's a mystery. I want us next to turn over to Ephesians. That's Paul's letter to the people of Ephesus. And we're going to look in chapter 1. And I'm going to read what I kind of like to think of as the plan that God had when he named the baby Emmanuel, when he named the baby Jesus. And you know, we're trying to figure out and understand that mystery and how it happened. And here Paul is going to let us in on a clue. So we're going to start in chapter 1 in the middle of verse 8, and I'm going to read to about verse 14. "With all wisdom and insight, he," that's God, "has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ." In other words, this mystery that God set forth, that planted, has to do with Christ, with Jesus, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, in Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, in Jesus, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed, so you heard it, then you believed, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. I want to take this apart a little bit. This is a plan. This is the plan God had that he set forth in Jesus, in a little baby who grew up to be a man, fully human and fully divine at the same time, that had to go to the cross to die for you and for me. And we're thinking, what? That doesn't make any sense. What's going on here? Well, it's for the praise of God's glory. Now, I'm going to take apart a little bit. This is what I like to do in my class. I like to take apart words. And the word glory, I want to introduce you to a new concept. And it was it wasn't new. I think it's actually right spot on. The idea of glory being evidence of God's work. Evidence of God's work. So praise to the evidence of God's work around us. Everybody turn around and look out the doors or the windows. There is glory, evidence of God's work. There are baskets going out. There are beds going out. There's kids. There's adults. Everything. That's praise to God's glory. Praise to what God is doing. It's a beautiful thing. And it's God's will. It's his purpose and his plan that we all do it together. And we couldn't do it together when we were separated by the sin that consumes us and destroys the relationships that we have with one another and with God. So in order to right that relationship, we had to have Jesus. We had to have the baby in the manger who was born to die. Can't have Christmas without thinking of Easter. Can't celebrate Easter without remembering God taking on flesh and being born a baby to dwell among us, to dwell in us, and to die for us. These are some of the mysteries of our faith that I think we lose when we get too busy. We're not only planning Christmas and some of us are even planning weddings, and you got all kinds of events going on, and it's just so much fun. And did I tell you that I'm gonna embarrass you guys? Okay, no. Cody's shut. This is my daughter and my future son-in-law. They're getting married 2 weeks right here, less than 2 weeks. You know? Yeah, there you go. Sorry, Cody. You know, it's New Year's Eve. It's just wonderful. And but I've been a little busy, you know, been a little busy. So I don't have time to think about this beautiful mystery of God working to bring us back together, to right the wrong that we caused, that sin that we caused. All right, now I want you to turn to Colossians. We're going to hear again from Paul, but this is not the verse in your bulletin. I'd like you to look at chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 15. And I want you to listen to this, because this is kind of a description of this baby that's been born. This is a description of that fully God, fully human, divine baby that was born and what he accomplished in his life, who he was. It's his description. He's talking about Jesus, Peter, or Paul is, Peter, or Peter and Paul. Where do I get that? Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or power. All things have been created through him and for him. everything you see has been created by this baby that was born before time, who is an image of our invisible God. All right? He, that's Jesus, verse 17, himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Who has first place in your life? Usually it's me. It's really all about me. And, you know, I have to be happy, and I have to have the right stuff. And it's not, no, you know, it's not, that's not how we were meant to be. We were meant to have God first, put him first. For in him all the fullness of God, in Jesus, was pleased to dwell. So this fullness, all this divineness of God was pleased to enter humanity in the form of the weakest and the littlest and the most helpless of creatures, a human baby. And through him, through Jesus, God was pleased. I love that. I love the concept of God being pleased. To reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. How? By making peace through the blood of his cross, through the death of his son on the cross. All things became reconciled, put back together, redeemed, saved, because this little baby that we think of being born in the manger right now grows into a man and lives the life that we were meant to, but because we are full of sin and he was not, we can't live that way, but we've got to see him. We got to touch him if we were living in first century times. You know, but we can see and touch Jesus here today. I really think so. I'm seeing him go out the door, still going out the door, delivering beds. I see him still going out the door. There's somebody got one of those wheel dolly things full of boxes that I think they're probably going over to the trash. That's Jesus right here. Working, dwelling in us now. Okay, the last verse I want to go to is 1 Timothy. This is another letter that Paul writes to his buddy Timothy, who was a worker with him in the field, one of the apostles that went out. And I love that Paul writes and talks about the mystery of our faith. Because when it all boils down, when all the beautiful decorations and the lights are gone, and all the cookies are eaten and the cards sent, it does remain a mystery. Why God chose to enter humanity, to enter our world as a human rather, his world, to live among us and then to die for us. I don't know, can you figure it out? I don't know. Okay, so here we go. We're going to go in 1 Timothy, it's short one, chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see, I have to get this closer because it's not big enough print. Here he goes. Without any doubt, Paul writes, the mystery of our religion is great. Yeah, he was revealed in flesh, so revealed. He was vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, and taken up in glory. This is our mystery, that we have a God who was revealed in the flesh of a little baby. He lived a life. He was nailed to a cross, but he was vindicated because on the cross, Jesus was crowned as he defeated sin and death and the devil. He was seen by angels, and Scripture tells us of Jesus in the heavenly courts. He's seen by not only the earthly realm, the flesh realm, but the heavenly realm in spirit with angels. Proclaimed, told about among the Gentiles. And who are the Gentiles? Well, in the first century, they're our worst enemies. They're nobodies. But that's who the message of reconciliation, of redemption, of salvation, of relationship made right, went out to. our enemies. So they were. It was proclaimed and then believed in, and I like this, throughout the world. Throughout the world, starting in this one little place, kind of this, you know, no, not an important spot of all the earth and the creation, you know, this little Middle East part, little piece of land, Judea, a little, you know, and then boom, the word goes out. That's a mystery how that can happen. And then taken up in glory, again, taken up, ascending into heaven. This is evidence of God working. It's a beautiful thing. Well, we've hop, skipped, and jumped through the Bible today, and it's a little Bible study. If you've been around with me, you know I like to do Bible study. And so I hope some of these verses have maybe revealed to you a little bit about this mystery that we celebrate, this thing called Christmas that eventually moves into Easter. Celebrate the mystery that we can see. That we can see God's glory, God's evidence of his working all around us. If we just stop and take a moment, watching beds delivered again, I see it. Oh, kids getting gifts on Wednesday, cookies being delivered to shut-ins. I mean, it's just God's glory. God's work is all over the place this time of year. It should be all the time. Celebrate the reason, too, that that through this mystery that we can have a personal relationship with God. It's not a God locked away in a chamber that only a high priest can visit one time a year, that you and I can have a relationship, that we can talk to, that we can share our innermost feelings with anytime we want to. We can have a relationship. That was unheard of, and it's a mystery how we can do that. It's a mystery, I think, that God took on flesh, that he lived among us, that he died for us pesky little gnats, and he reconciled through his death all of us to him. And it didn't matter where we'd been, what we'd done, we were his children. We were given a gift we didn't deserve, a God full of grace and compassion. It doesn't matter or not, really, if we ever do solve this mystery, you think? It doesn't. The fact is, the mystery will always remain a mystery. It will. The mystery of it all. The mystery of all of this. The mystery of what we celebrate in this season. The mystery is really called Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks for listening.